Good evening, everybody. Thanks so much for being here. We never thought we would be here this Wednesday night, but things happened outside of our control, but not outside of the Lord's control. He knew that we would be here long time ago, and so we give him thanks and praise. I was thinking about a psalm that is a great psalm of thanksgiving, and it's one of the psalms in the book of, or one of the songs in the book of Psalms that is it antiphonal is the word?
Something like that.
Larry, what do you call it when you go back and forth? It's antiphonal? It's a responsive reading. So antiphonal just makes me sound smart. I'm not sure what it means. So you have a part and I have a part. And so I will read and then Debbie will lead on your part. Your part goes like this: for his loving kindness is everlasting. It's 26 verses. Your part is the same. And I remember reading this psalm one day, and it dawned on me that God really does love me. After I said 26 times, for his loving kindness is everlasting. You know, even a thick head like me started seeing, God, you really do love me. And it's an awesome thing to understand that. But let's do this responsive reading. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
For his loving kindness is everlasting.
Give thanks to the God of gods.
For his loving kindness is everlasting.
Give thanks to the Lord of lords.
For his loving kindness is everlasting.
To him who alone does great wonders.
For his loving kindness is everlasting.
To him who made the heavens with skill.
For his loving kindness is everlasting.
To him who spread out the earth above the waters.
For his loving kindness is everlasting.
To him who made the great lights.
For his loving kindness is everlasting.
The sun to rule by day.
For his loving kindness is everlasting.
The moon and stars to rule by night.
For his loving kindness is everlasting.
To him who smote the Egyptians in their firstborn.
For his loving kindness is everlasting.
And brought Israel out from their midst.
For his loving kindness is everlasting.
With a strong hand and an outstretched arm.
For his loving kindness is everlasting.
To him who divided the Red Sea asunder.
For his loving kindness is everlasting.
And made Israel pass through the midst of it.
For his loving kindness is everlasting.
But he overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea.
For his loving kindness is everlasting.
To him who led his people through the wilderness.
For his loving kindness is everlasting.
To him who smote great kings.
For his loving kindness is everlasting.
And slew mighty kings.
For his loving kindness is everlasting.
Sihon, king of the Amorites.
For his loving kindness is everlasting.
And Og, king of Bashan.
For his loving kindness is everlasting.
And gave their land as a heritage.
For his loving kindness is everlasting.
Even a heritage to Israel, his servant.
For his loving kindness is everlasting.
Who remembered us in our low estate.
For his loving kindness is everlasting.
And has rescued us from our adversaries.
For his loving kindness is everlasting.
Who gives food to all flesh.
For his loving kindness is everlasting.
Give thanks to the God of heaven.
For his loving kindness is everlasting.
Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks tonight, for indeed your loving kindness is everlasting. Lord, we thank you that nobody was hurt in this fire on Sunday. We thank you for our firefighters, and we thank you that they literally risked their lives to put out the blaze. Lord, we thank you for the people here tonight who are here to praise your name, and we're here to call upon your name. And Lord, the church is not a building. It's people who know you and love you and walk with you. And so we thank you that we can gather. We thank you for Jack Daugherty and his kindness to let us use his facility tonight. And Lord, we pray that this time would be pleasing to you as your people call upon your name. We ask this all in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Well, as you know, big fire on Sunday afternoon. I was taking a nap. Debbie woke me up and she said, you need to hurry and get to the church because the church is on fire. And that's never a good way to wake up from a nap.
Well, he told me later, you really need to work on that.
Yeah. So none of us knew how bad it was, obviously, at that time, but we know now how bad it was. And just so you'll know, the fire started in the sound engineer's office, and from there it went into the control room, And then it went up and it went over. It moved from west to east, and it destroyed the sound engineer's office, the control room, two media guys' offices, and the studio. And then when it went up, it destroyed lots of things. As many of you were out there and you saw how the firemen were knocking holes in the wall and tearing up the roof to try and get the smoke out. And Eric Slaughter, who is our fire chief, and he's here tonight. Can we give them a round of applause? They did an incredible job. He did tell me that fire was over 1,000 degrees, and it was totally black in there. And so when they tried to come in and put out the fire, they couldn't see. And if you saw the time-lapse video that we put up on social media to where the whole worship center was filled with that heavy black smoke, that was not only heavy and thick, but it was hot. It was very, very hot. And so they fought that fire and they got it out, and it took a while. But the smoke and soot damage is extensive. So the worship center is basically going to have to be gutted, and the ceilings taken out, and the seats and the carpet totally destroyed. And so that's going to take a while. We've heard first it was we might be out of there for several months, and then it was 4 to 6 months, and then it was 6 to 8 months. And somebody said 12 months today. We didn't let him come back to the meeting. So we're hopeful. We'll see. We'll pray that God. I was thinking about the story of Nehemiah, and when he and the people rebuilt the wall, they did it in 52 days, if I remember correctly, 52 or 53 days, because it said the hand of the Lord was upon them to work. And so that's a good thing to pray on a regular basis for all those who are going to be working in the worship center, that God's hand would be upon them to work and to get their... what do you keep mumbling back there? I just keep hearing this.
Sound.
So anyway, you know, that's Larry. He's kind of weird. That was an encouragement.
Yes.
So we have a task at hand. We're excited about tomorrow being an opportunity to get back into the children's building. And we've had a company called ServPro that's been doing a great job getting everything cleaned up. And so they will have that ready to go tomorrow morning. Then they'll work on the atrium, and then they'll work on the gym and have that ready to go for Friday, or for Sunday, I'm sorry. And the offices will be back in the offices on Monday. Like I said, the worship center is going to be off limits for a long time as they do the work. And if you've been, go ahead.
Can I interject that? And it really is off limits. I mean, they're going to have it really blocked off. And I know a lot of people are curious, and the curious part of you, like, oh, let me just peek inside. The city has not given permission for anyone to be in there except the people working on it. So it truly, truly is off limits, the worship center area.
Right. Yeah, they don't want anybody in there. So.
I mean, really.
Yeah. Really. So we're going to have to adapt to two services on Sunday, and we'll be in the gym. If you remember what it was like when the worship center was under construction, so we had services in the gym, overflow in the atrium, overflow if the atrium filled up was in the fusion area. So that's our main plan, but this Sunday it's going to be different, because we don't have time to get the gym set up. So the main service this Sunday only is going to be in the atrium. Overflow will be in the gym. And if we fill that up, overflow from there will be in the fusion. We have no Sunday school classes. We just have the two services, 8 o'clock and 10:30. And then next week we'll be back, Lord willing, to regular schedule and regular Wednesday night activities. And then Sunday will be the main service after that in the gym with overflow in the atrium. Overflow from there in the fusion area. Easter is coming up, and Easter is going to be at the Sullivan Performing Arts Center, and that will hold about 1,000 people. So we are going to have our Good Friday service at 7 o'clock like we normally do. We'll be able to hold everybody there that night. And then we'll have a Saturday night Easter service at 6 o'clock. And then we'll have three Sunday morning services at 8 o'clock, 9:30, and 11. So we got to keep those services tight. So I've already talked to Quinn about making sure the music, which always goes over, doesn't go over. So he said he understood it. So Debbie, if you've been keeping up on social media, we've been trying to do these updates on a daily basis to let you know what's going on. And so Debbie shared last night about her special word.
Yes. We had this word when we were going through some transitions decades ago when we were taking a forest, and it was kind of our theme word. And the word is joy flex. We're going to be joyful, and we're going to be flexible. Because as we enter into all of this, we have to keep a heart attitude of joy. And we have to be flexible with things constantly being in flux and changing, because they are going to be doing that. You know, we have a plan in place, but there can be glitches and we've got a last minute change something. And so we just want to encourage everybody, ourselves included, to be joyful and to be flexible. And I think that can be such a tremendous witness to our community. If we are joyful and we're flexible, we're making t-shirts. I'm not kidding. We're going to make t-shirts, and people can ask you, what does that mean? You can tell them. That'll be your witness to what we're going through here. And, you know, I was thinking the other day, I was telling Jeff this yesterday, when I was growing up, I don't remember what it was, but it was at a service, that a pastor said, you know, if the devil's really leaving you alone, it's because you're not a threat, and you better take an evaluation of your life. But if he's threatened by you, he's going to come after you. Let me tell you something. He's threatened by our church. He's threatened by our church. And it is not a coincidence that of all the places in our facility where Americans start and destroy, it started in the area that is the largest mission outreach our church has, and that's our television and TV ministry. He wants to squelch the word coming out from this place, and we are not going to let him do that. We are not going to let him do that.
So as we pray, and we're going to have different ones come and just share a word of encouragement and then lead us in prayer. So we wanted to share that word of encouragement from James chapter 1. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. So let's pray through that. Father in heaven, we thank you that you are the God over all things. We thank you that your love endures forever. We thank you that you never leave us and you never forsake us. And we thank you that, Lord, you are indeed sovereign, and we can trust you, because the God who is over it all is also the God who has nail scars in his hands, the God who loves us enough to die on the cross for our sins and to rise again from the dead. So, Lord, we do ask you to just use this for good in our lives and in our church and in our family. In our church family and beyond, to be a witness to the world. And Lord, that we would be indeed joyful, and we would be flexible, and we wouldn't be cranky about anything. We know that this is going to require a lot of people adapting to new circumstances, and it's not going to be as comfortable as it was. But Lord, we just pray that you would do a deep work in us, so that we would be soft clay in the hands of the master. And Lord, that we would just praise you no matter what. You have said in your word, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will in Christ Jesus concerning you. And Lord, we just do that right now. And God, not only the things in our church, but the things going on in our world that have people afraid, the stock market situation and the coronavirus and the election coming up and all these things. God, we just want to tell you that we don't need to fear the future, because we know the God who holds the future. And Lord, you have said in your word, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And Lord, we give you thanks and praise, and we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm that I really like to share with people. It's Psalm 30. The whole psalm is great, but I just want to read to you verse 5 of Psalm 30. It says, His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. And you know, there's some truths that we have. There's some truths that we know. In a time of uncertainty, we can hang on to these truths. Life doesn't always make sense, but God is always with us, and God loves us. I mean, from the first time I came to this church, I could feel God's presence. As we meet in the sanctuary, we feel God's presence. But you know, His presence is with us right now. As we gather together, His presence is here with us, telling us how much He loves us. Another truth is that everything on earth is broken, but God always has a plan. God is sovereign, meaning that God is in complete control. Nothing surprises Him. Nothing takes Him off guard. Life is hard, but don't give up. We have to endure. We have to keep moving forward. We have to go through these trials moving forward. We need each other. We really do need each other. This is such an encouragement, being here tonight. Just looking at your faces, we're so encouraged. Just seeing each other, being with one another is such an encouragement. And, you know, right after the fire, seeing people gathering in the parking lot, or while the fire was going on, seeing people gather together, it was so encouraging to see people coming together and sharing a time of grief. It really is a time of grief. And I want to tell you that grief is not bad. Grief is good. Is all grief is it's just coming to the reality of a loss. That's what it is. It's coming to the reality of a loss. And we don't just have grief when someone dies. There's another thing called material grief or material loss. When we lose something, something very valuable like our sanctuary, something very important to us, there's a time where we need to grieve that because it's a major loss for us. And so then we go through the stages of grief. You've heard about the stages of grief, and we go through the stages of grief. First of all, there's shock. And when we say, did this really happen? It's like a nightmare. There's no way that this happened. Did this really happen? We're in shock. Then there's sorrow. Yes, this did really happen. And it really stinks. It hurts. It hurts bad. This really did happen, and it hurts. And then there's the struggle. And through the struggle, as Debbie was sharing with us, we have to be flexible. We have to stay flexible. We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds it. And so we stay flexible and stay present. Stay in the moment. Don't get too far ahead. Don't worry about the future. Jesus tells us aren't supposed to worry about tomorrow. Stay focused on today. Stay present. In the present is where God's presence is. And His presence is what we need the most. Then there's a time of surrender. And in this time of surrender, we say, God, what is it that you are trying to teach us? As your people, you are going to bring lessons to us through this. What is it that you're trying to teach us at this time? We're listening. You have our attention. What is it that you're trying to teach us? There's the surrender. And then there's sanctification. There's growth. God is going to bring great growth out of this. Spiritual, numerical, financial growth. He is going to bring growth out of this. He's going to grow us as individuals, and He's going to grow us as a church. He's going to sanctify us more and more as we go through this process. And then there's service. There's service. God never wastes a hurt. He never wastes a pain. He never wastes a bad experience. He uses it all for His glory. I love the story of Joseph. Remember the story of Joseph, and then his brothers are coming, and they're approaching Joseph in Genesis 50. Joseph says, what you meant for evil, God has turned for good. And that's what we believe will happen in this situation. So we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author, the perfecter of our faith, and He will guide us through. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for each person that's here tonight. And God, we know that are working in this situation, and you will continue to work. Help us to keep our eyes fixed on you. You're teaching us through this. You've got lessons to teach us through this, so help us to be good students. Help us to hear and receive from you, to make the necessary changes in our lives and in our church. And Lord, we do look forward to that day when we meet together again in the sanctuary. But in the meantime, we are going to continue to have joy. We're going to stay in the present. We're going to stay focused on you, loving you and loving each other. And you will do a great work as we continue to focus on you. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus.
Good evening. The first year I came on staff here, Dr. Nathan Wright approached me about the possibility of starting an after-school program. And we were gonna kind of get in on the shirt tail of one that had already been established across town. And they called that after-school program, they called it Mondays or Fun Days. And eventually we took that program over completely at First Baptist. And we were servicing several little elementary schools here in town. And we were bringing in all of these kids that were at risk. These kids that had potential, but they had no hope. And the principal of one of those particular schools, she came to me. She called me into her office one day and she said, Stephanie, she said, you know, I think it would be in your best interest if you renamed that program. We were calling it Mondays or Fun Days. She said, I think you need to rename that program. She said, because that title does not at all describe what you're doing for those kids. And so I had to get real serious and I had to get real prayerful. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what do you want us to call that program that will give a visual illustration to the people that we are servicing and to the community exactly what it is that we are trying to accomplish? And so I started searching the scriptures and I came across Jeremiah 29:11. And I read it and I thought, that's it. We're going to call it Club 29:11. Because these kids have potential, but they have no hope. And if you're not familiar with that verse, it says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Ah, praise God. Praise God. And so with that, that little program was rebirthed, and it has been so successful. But that verse ignited within me. And I was determined that was not going to be just the verse for our after-school program. That was going to be the verse for our kids and Kids United as well. Every child needs to know that there is a good plan for them, not for disaster, but one that's going to provide them with a future and a hope. And so in Bible drill, every year, that verse is one of the verses that we require the kids to memorize. Now, I did a Google search just on the most popular verses right today. The very first verse that came up, I really anticipated that it would be John 3:16. The very first verse to come up was Jeremiah 29:11. I don't know why that is. Perhaps it's because people need confirmation that there's meaning to the madness. Meaning to the madness. And ironically enough, when I sent out the message to all of our after-school kids that we would not be able to pick them up today after school, I started receiving text messages back. The first one said, OMG, Miss Steph, that just messed my day completely up. And the next one said, can we still get together Wednesday somewhere or sometime? I need time with my family. And as tragic as it was Sunday afternoon, in that parking lot, standing among all of those adults who were in awe and in shock, I saw very few tears, except one little girl that ran up to me and buried her face in my leg and just sobbed. And just sobbed. But I was able to tell her that it was okay, because God is not a God of disaster. He is a good God that's going to provide us with a hope and a future. Now, those next verses, we don't want to always just take one verse and assume that there's no beginning and there's no end, but the verses that follow after that are just so beautiful. They say, in those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you, and I will bring you home again to your own land. Wow. Is that not what we're going to encounter? Is that not what we're going to experience? He's going to restore that beautiful building that we come together and worship in every week. And he's going to bring us back home. Praise him. Praise him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you so much that when we don't know how to think, when we don't know what to say, all we have to do is look to your word. And it will be written so poetically. It will be written so beautifully. And we can grab hold of it, Lord. And we can just rest in it. Lord, thank you so much for the confidence, that we have that this disaster will be for our good. And it will give us a future and a hope beyond all that we can imagine or think. Jesus, we love you so much. And for every child, that is in awe and wonder as to what's going to happen, would you just provide them with the sense that you have it all in control and there is nothing to fear, nothing to fear. Jesus, we love you. We love you and we are grateful. We are grateful for this challenge. We are grateful that we are unified in our efforts to see you exalted despite the ashes. Jesus, in your precious name, we just want to say that we love you and we're grateful. Amen.
Through these circumstances, one of the things the Lord reminded me and my family, even as we were talking about this, is about process. We were talking about earlier, as a family, the first time we adopted our first child that we adopted, the process was smooth, it was quick, it was easy. As a matter of fact, we went through the adoption process, which included the classes, included all the things, the six-month waiting period, all in less than a year. It was smooth sailing. And then we went through our second adoption. We filed the papers to finalize the adoption, and we found out at that time that someone else had filed to adopt Clyde. And it led to a process that took 2 years. And so we were talking as a family about how sometimes God will take us through a process where there are no easy answers. There were times in the middle of our adoption of Clyde, we were asking questions. We didn't have resolution. We didn't know how it was going to end. We just had to trust God. And the beauty of it is at the end of the 2 year period, we got to celebrate our adoption of Clyde. We got to see how God had led us through that and deepened our faith. And yet it was a process. And here we stand as a church in another pivotal time in the life of our church. And God has us in a process. We wish we could stand up here tonight and say in 6 months, in 8 months, everything will be resolved. We know exactly what needs to be fixed, but right now we're in a process. And so God is calling us individually and collectively to trust him. And he has proven over and over and over and over again that he is always faithful in the process. It's a reminder to us that our church, the strength of our church, is not the four walls of First Baptist Church. It's the people. And so God is calling us to go deeper. And God is stretching us in new ways as a church. But if we'll say, yes, God, we will trust you. The fruit, the opportunities, God has unique opportunities. Even being here tonight is a unique opportunity that God is giving us to share with the community and the world that the church is still the church. So talking a little bit about the process, I wanted to fill you in on a little bit of the details of what's happening right now in the life of our church. So one of the things we wanted to focus on firsthand is getting to the areas that we could use the quickest. And so many of you have seen the ServPro Trucks, which is a restoration company that specializes in coming in to areas that's been damaged by fire, by water, by smoke. And so we identified the key areas that we could actually get in the quickest, which was our preschool area. It is our classrooms. It is our offices. It is our atrium and our family life building. And many of you already know, but we just give praise for Olin Owens and his leadership and what he's doing. What a testimony. A man who is 83 years old. Now, I'm telling you, now I'm following him around on some of these things, and he's climbing on the roof and going upstairs, and I'm having to pray before I step into it. And I mean, he's just going and blowing, and just God has given him so much wisdom. And of course, he loves our church. And so we just have some incredible people leading the way. And you already know the incredible staff that we have and just how we are working as a team. But we have right now in this process where ServPro is going through all those critical areas that we can get in the quickest. And they are cleaning them from top to bottom. When you step into the facility on Sunday, I can tell you it is going to be clean. It is going to have an incredibly clean smell to it. But they are cleaning from top to bottom. And so at the same time that this is taking place, right now you have insurance adjusters that are assessing what has taken place. You have fire investigators that are assessing what has taken place. And once they've completed their process, then we will be able to start with addressing the sanctuary. But right now, it's assessing the damage. So at this current moment, we couldn't tell you all of the damage because we don't know all of the damage. We're still in the process of assessing that. But once that is properly assessed, we do have right now contractors that are being called upon for the areas, for the things that we know we're going to need help on. And so Olin is leading the way in that, in gathering those resources, so that when we're ready to specifically assess all the things that will need to be addressed, we already have people at the table to help us address those things. So we don't know exactly how long it will take. And yet at the same time, be encouraged that you have incredible leaders, starting with our senior pastor, Pastor Jeff, who are looking to be very responsible and yet at the same time to help us work through this as quickly as we can. But it comes back to process. You've already heard Nehemiah referenced. And one of the interesting things as you read through the book of Nehemiah is you see that Nehemiah experiences difficulties numerous times as he has this rebuilding project. And you'll notice that each time he encounters a difficulty, a trial, it says, but then he prayed. And so many of you have asked, and you've so genuinely asked the question, what can we do? Right now, one of the biggest things you could do is pray. Pray as we work with the insurance adjusters that they'll do what's right and what's fair. Pray that as we assess the things that have taken place, that we will see things correctly, that the people who are investigating will see things correctly so that we can properly address all of those things. And then you've already heard the flexibility piece. Of course, because of the damage, we're going to have to move some Sunday school classes. We're going to have to move certain things. And one of the biggest blessings that we believe that God is going to be glorified through and our church will grow and go to another level of growth is when we're called upon to make a shift and to make an adjustment, that we have the answer, whatever it takes. If everyone in this room, and then you share with someone else in our context, in our church that maybe is not here, be prepared to say yes, whatever it takes. That will be another level of growth for our church. And God will smile upon that and say, my people are ready to go deeper and experience me at a different level. So we're going to pray that right now. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity we have to gather here tonight and to be reminded that the love that is in our church, the people that are in our church, are what makes our church so special, so wonderful. And God, we want your continued presence. You have had favor upon us. You have blessed our church. And we are looking forward to how you're going to take us deeper and how you're going to grow us through this process that you have for us to go through. And so, Lord, thank you for our incredible staff, our incredible members, and just all that people are willing to do to see your name glorified. And we pray that that would be our testimony, that each one of us, starting, Lord, just I want to be an example with that. Whatever it takes, yes, whatever it takes, that we would have that attitude, that we would have that perspective. God, give us favor with the insurance company. God, we want just what is right and what is fair. And so, Lord, we pray that you would give us favor even as we interact and go through the process of figuring out what the number will be and what they will pay for. God, we are trusting you there. And so we thank you, God. We thank you for Pastor Jeff. We thank you for Debbie. We thank you for their leadership. Give them wisdom, Lord. We pray that you would encourage and just overflow your blessings to and through them, just even as they lead. And so, Lord, we look forward to what you have in store for us. And we believe what is in front of us is even greater than what's behind us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Marcus. They don't allow me to have the mic very often anymore, so I do have a few things to say before I... It's interesting, I was leaning over to Marcus and I said, isn't our pastor wise? And compassionate and kind. Actually, if you want to know what I was saying, I have the privilege of praying for our firefighters and first responders. And so I was looking forward to recognizing our fire chief tonight. And so Jeff did that, which, of course, is fine. And then Jeff quoted from Nehemiah. And I looked over at Marcus and I said, aren't you using Nehemiah? And he said, well, I was. So, you know, when you're old and lost your filter, you're just not as concerned. I will say, before we go to our first responders, you know, in all my years at First Baptist Church, which is many, as some of you know, I've never seen the church have more unity, more excitement, better spirit, a better desire to see the Lord at work. And so, you know, I thought we've gotten the worship center, we have the state-of-the-art facility, all the media, you know, was updated and all this, and just got kind of comfortable, you know? And I realized, though, you know, Sunday afternoon, that's not what it's about. It's about those of us here tonight and those that even couldn't be here. As everyone has said, you know, it's the people. And First Baptist Church, I've never seen a group that love the Lord more, that are supportive of their pastor and staff, that love each other and are so kind. And I commend you. We've been through lots of different things over the years. This is surely one of the greatest tests we've ever had. But as so many have shared, we're not going through this test with fear, but with confidence and excitement about what God is going to do. Now, it is my privilege to... I was going to recognize the first responders, but, you know, the word hero, I like to think of is when someone sees a need and they respond to it. And that's certainly true of our firefighters and our law enforcement officers, EMT, and other first responders. But, you know, what do we do when we see danger? We run. We run the other direction. And our firefighters, especially, and our lawmen, when they see danger, what do? They step right into the midst of it to protect us.
And you know, greater love hath no man than this, that he laid down his life for his brother. Yesterday in Hot Springs, a young policeman with two little children was shot and killed. And you know, every day when our first responders leave to go to work and they tell their wife and children goodbye, they're not going to an office or a sales position or something like that. They're going to put their life on the line. And we saw this on Sunday afternoon. And we do have a page in the Gazette this Sunday thanking our firemen and law enforcement officers. There were so many fire departments that came. Of course, the lead department was Texarkana, Texas Fire Department. But you know, I thought you just ran into a building with a garden hose and started spraying water. Well, of course, they're professional, they're skilled, and they're knowledgeable. But still, when they went into that building, it was black smoke. And some of you, like Jeff said, if you've seen that video, it was terrible black smoke. And they went right into that building. And with the fire being upwards of 1,000 degrees. Now think of that. You know, you turn your oven on to 350 and that's hot, but 1,000 degrees. And three of the firemen, in fact, suffered some smoke inhalation. Captain Ken and Fireman Lane and Fireman Josh, and they went to the hospital and were checked out, received some treatment, and they were dismissed. And what did they do? They came back to the scene of the fire. At least 12 firemen that were not on duty and were not called to come in came to help fight the fire. There were about 8 or 9 fire departments from all over our community that came together and followed the leadership of Texarkana, Texas firemen, and did such a professional job. And you know, it got difficult for them to breathe, and some of them, they ran out of oxygen. And the natural thing that we would have done, I think most people would have done, is said, we've got to get out of here. And they didn't. They charged right into the fire, the fiery furnace. And you know, if they had retreated, we would have no doubt lost our entire worship center. So these men are incredible heroes. And I encourage you, we're going to thank them, you know, publicly Sunday in the newspaper and in other ways. But in fact, our student ministry yesterday and today have taken meals to each of the 10 fire stations in Texarkana. We love them. We appreciate them. Our firemen are heroes, not just to us, to our preschoolers. The firemen come out, you know, for Fireman's Day, and they see these gentle, kind souls that pick them up and let them sit in the fireman's seat and try on the fireman's hat and things. And you know, those gentle souls are the ones that charge into the fire or the difficulty, the rescue operations. Our law enforcement officers, and we have so many in our church, you know, if they pull a car over, they have no idea what they're going to encounter when they walk up to that car, when they go into a house, when they go for a domestic disturbance. There's so many places they go. When they go to work, they're saying, Lord, here am I. Use me to help people, to protect people, to stand for truth and honesty, the American way of life. They're our heroes, and we need to let them know that. And I encourage you, and I try to make a habit of doing this, if you go out to eat somewhere and you see some firemen or some or lawmen and they're in their uniform, buy their dinner. You know, if you see one with their family, buy their dinner. If you see them at Walmart or Neiman's or wherever you might be, you know, go up and thank them. I've been with some of our lawmen, and it has just touched my heart so much because I know them as regular guys with regular families. And when somebody comes up and says, son, I want to thank you for what you do for us. And, you know, the lawmen might sometimes tear up, or they always are respectful, you know, in responding. But I think, you know, how we can make a difference in their lives and the lives of their family. Think about someone you know, or even if it's a stranger, go by the fire station and take them you know, a treat or something good or homemade or whatever. We need to let these guys know how much we love them and appreciate them. And our page in the Gazette this week says, how can we say thanks to our firefighters and our first responders? We can do that in the tangible ways, but we can also do that in expressing our appreciation to them and most of all praying for them. And that's what we want to do now. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, how special it is to come together with this group tonight, people that love you and love this community, and in turn, Father, love their firefighters, their law enforcement officers, their EMTs, because they stand for what's right and for what's good and helping people, just like Jesus did when he was here on earth. And Father, I thank you that last Sunday afternoon, that over 60 men rose up to the occasion to fight a fire, to save our worship center. And Father, in incredibly difficult circumstances, once they had every right to flee the scene, but instead they fought. And we thank you for that. We pray you'll bless them, that you'll give them physical strength, that you'll protect them. We pray for their families, that you'll bless them, that you'll keep the whole family safe and in the palm of your hands. And we just thank you that we have that opportunity to pray for them. We pray especially for that young family, 20-year-old mom and dad with two little kids that was killed last night in the line of duty. And Father, how many lawmen and firemen we see every year that lose their lives. And we don't want to be found guilty, Father, of taking them for granted, but want to be able to express our gratitude to them, our love for them, and to assure them that we love them and care for them. And so bless them even tonight as they put their heads on the pillow. Might you give them a calm assurance that they're in your hands and protect them from danger, whatever it might be. In Jesus' name, amen.
So this is how fresh the Word of God is. 1 Peter chapter 4. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing. But as though some strange thing were happening to you, but to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exultation.